2 Chronicles 4 through 6, 11. Then he made a bronze star, 20 cubits in length, 20 cubits in width, and 10 cubits in height. He also made the sea of cast metal, 10 cubits from brim to brim, circular in form, and its height was 5 cubits, and its circumference was 30 cubits. Now figures like oxen were under it and all around it, 10 cubits, entirely encircling the sea. The oxen were in 2 rows, cast in 1 piece, standing on 12 oxen, 3 facing north, 3 facing west, 3 facing south, and 3 facing east. And the sea was set on top of them, and all their hindquarters turned inward. It was a hand width thick, and its brim was made like the brim of a cup, like a lily blossom. It could hold 3,000 baths. He also made 10 basins in which to wash, and he set 5 on the right side and 5 on the left side to rinse the things for the burnt offering. But the sea was for the priests to wash in. Then he made the 10 gold lampstands, in the way prescribed for them, and he set them in the temple, 5 on the right side and 5 on the left. He also made 10 tables, and placed them in the temple, 5 on the right side and 5 on the left. And he made 100 golden bowls. Then he made the courtyard of the priests, and the great courtyard, the doors for the courtyard, and overlaid their doors with bronze. He put the sea on the right side of the house toward the southeast. Huram also made the pails, the shovels, and the bowls. So Huram finished the work that he did for King Solomon in the house of God, the 2 pillars, the bowls, and the 2 capitals on top of the pillars, and the 2 lattice works to cover the 2 bowls of the capitals which were on top of the pillars, and the 400 pomegranates for the 2 lattice works, 2 rows of pomegranates for each lattice work to cover the 2 bowls of the capitals which were on the pillars. He also made the stands, and he made the basins on the stands, and the 1 sea with the 12 oxen under it, the pails, the shovels, the forks, and all its utensils. Hurimabi made of polished bronze for King Solomon, for the house of the Lord. On the plain of the Jordan, the king cast them into clay ground between Succoth and Zeredah. So Solomon made all these utensils in great quantities, for the weight of bronze could not be determined. Solomon also made the things that were in the house of God, the golden altar, the tables, with the bread of the presence on them, the lampstands with their lamps of pure gold, to burn in front of the inner sanctuary in the way prescribed, the flowers, the lamps, and the tongs of gold, that is, of purest gold, and the snuffers, the bowls, the spoons, and the firepans of pure gold, and the entrance of the house, its inner doors for the most holy place, and the doors of the house, that is, of the main room, of gold. So all the work that Solomon performed for the house of the Lord was finished, and Solomon brought in the things that his father David had dedicated, the silver, the gold, and all the utensils, and he put them in the treasuries of the house of God. Then Solomon assembled at Jerusalem the elders of Israel, all the heads of the tribes, and the leaders of the fathers' households of the sons of Israel, to bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord up from the city of David, which is Zion. All the men of Israel assembled themselves before the king at the feast, that is, in the 7th month. Then all the leaders of Israel came, and the Levites picked up the Ark. They brought the Ark, the tent of meeting, and all the holy utensils that were in the tent. The Levitical priests brought them up, and King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel who had assembled with him before the ark were sacrificing so many sheep and oxen that they could not be counted or numbered. Then the priests brought the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to its place, into the inner sanctuary of the house, the most holy place, under the wings of the cherubim. For the cherubim spread their wings over the place of the ark, so that the cherubim made a covering over the ark and its poles. The poles were so long that the ends of the poles of the ark could be seen in front of the inner sanctuary, but they could not be seen outside, and they are there to this day. There was nothing in the ark except the two tablets which Moses put there at Horeb, where the Lord made a covenant with the sons of Israel, when they came out of Egypt. When the priests came out from the holy place, for all the priests who were present had sanctified themselves without regard to divisions, and all the Levitical singers, Asaph, Heman, Jeduthun, and their sons and kinsmen, clothed in fine linen, with cymbals, harps, and lyres, standing east of the altar, and with them 120 priests blowing trumpets, in unison, when the trumpeters and the singers were to make themselves heard with one voice to praise and to glorify the Lord, and when they raised their voices, accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other musical instruments, and when they praised the Lord, saying, "He indeed is good, for his kindness is everlasting," then the house of the Lord, was filled with a cloud, so that the priests could not rise to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. Then Solomon said, "The Lord said he would dwell in thick darkness. I have built you a lofty house, and a place for your dwelling forever." Then the king turned around and blessed all the assembly of Israel. While all the assembly of Israel was standing, he said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who spoke with his mouth to my father David, and fulfilled it with his hands, saying, 'Since the day that I brought my people from the land of Egypt, I did not choose a city out of all the tribes of Israel in which to build a house, so that my name might be there, nor did I choose a man to be the leader over my people Israel. But I have chosen Jerusalem, so that my name might be there, and I have chosen David to be over my people Israel.' Now it was in the heart of my father David to build a house for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. But the Lord said to my father David, 'Because it was in your heart to build a house for my name, you did well that it was in your heart. Nevertheless, you shall not build the house, but your son, who will be born to you, he shall build the house for my name.' Now the Lord has fulfilled his word which he spoke, for I have risen in place of my father David, and sit on the throne of Israel, as the Lord promised, and have built the house for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. There I have placed the ark, in which is the covenant of the Lord, which he made with the sons of Israel." Matthew 20. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. When he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius for the day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to those he said, "You go into the vineyard also, and whatever is right I will give you." And so they went. Again, he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and did the same thing. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, "Why have you been standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one hired us." He said to them, "You, go into the vineyard too." Now when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the laborers and pay their wages, starting with the last group first." When those hired about the 11th hour came, each one received a denarius. And so when those first hired came, they thought that they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they grumbled at the landowner, saying, "These who were hired last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the day's work and the scorching heat." But he answered and said to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go. But I want to give to this last person the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I want with what is my own?" or is your eye envious because I am generous? So the last shall be first, and the first last. As Jesus was about to go up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside by themselves. And on the road he said to them, Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death. And they will hand him over to the Gentiles, to mock and flog and crucify, and on the third day he will be raised up. Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to Jesus with her sons, bowing down and making a request of him. And he said to her, What do you desire? She said to him, Say that in your kingdom these two sons of mine shall sit, one at your right and one at your left. But Jesus replied, You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink? They said to him, We are able. He said to them, My cup you shall drink, but to sit at my right or at my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father. And after hearing this, the other 10 disciples became indignant with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to himself and said, You know that the rulers of the Gentiles domineer over them, and those in high position exercise authority over them. It is not this way among you, but whoever wants to become prominent among you shall be your servant, and whoever desires to be first among you shall be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. As they were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him, and two people who were blind sitting by the road, hearing that Jesus was passing by, cried out, Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David. But the crowd sternly warned them to keep quiet. Yet they cried out all the more, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. And Jesus stopped and called them, and said, What do you want me to do for you? They said to him, Lord, we want our eyes to be opened. Moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes, and immediately they regained their sight and followed him. Acts 14. In Iconium, they entered the synagogue of the Jews together, and spoke in such a way that a large number of people believed, both of Jews and of Greeks. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the minds of the Gentiles and embittered them against the brothers. Therefore they spent a long time there, speaking boldly with reliance upon the Lord, who was testifying to the word of his grace, granting that signs and wonders be performed by their hands. But the people of the city were divided, and some sided with the Jews, while others with the apostles. And when an attempt was made by both the Gentiles and the Jews with their rulers to treat them abusively and to stone them, they became aware of it and fled to the cities of Lycaonia, Lystra, and Derbe, and the surrounding region. And there they continued to preach the gospel. In Lystra, a man was sitting whose feet were incapacitated. He had been disabled from his mother's womb and had never walked. This man was listening to Paul as he spoke. Paul looked at him intently and saw that he had faith to be made well. And he said with a loud voice, Stand upright on your feet. And the man leaped up and began to walk. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they raised their voice, saying in the Lycaonian language, The gods have become like men and have come down to us. And they began calling Barnabas, Zeus, and Paul, Hermes, since he was the chief speaker. Moreover, the priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates, and he wanted to offer sacrifices with the crowds. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard about it, they tore their robes and rushed out into the crowd, crying out and saying, Men, why are you doing these things? We are also men, of the same nature as you, preaching the gospel to you, to turn from these useless things to a living God, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea, and everything that is in them. In the past generations, He permitted all the nations to go their own ways, yet he did not leave himself without witness, in that he did good and gave you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. And even by saying these things, only with difficulty did they restrain the crowds from offering sacrifices to them. But Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having won over the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, thinking that he was dead. But while the disciples stood around him, he got up and entered the city. The next day he left with Barnabas for Derbe. And after they had preached the gospel to that city and had made a good number of disciples, they returned to Lystra, to Iconium, and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying, "It is through many tribulations that we must enter the kingdom of God." When they had appointed elders for them in every church, having prayed with fasting, they entrusted them to the Lord in whom they had believed. They passed through Pisidia and came into Pamphylia. When they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. From there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been entrusted to the grace of God for the work that they had accomplished. When they had arrived and gathered the church together, they began to report all the things that God had done with them, and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles, and they spent a long time with the disciples. Proverbs 8:1-11. Does not wisdom call, and understanding raise her voice, on the top of the heights beside the way, where the paths meet, she takes her stand, beside the gate, at the opening to the city, at the entrance of the doors, she cries out, "To you people, I call, and my voice is to mankind. You naive ones, understand prudence, and you fools, understand wisdom. Listen, for I will speak noble things, and the opening of my lips will reveal right things, for my mouth will proclaim truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing crooked or perverted in them. They are all straightforward to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Accept my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all desirable things cannot compare with her." Psalm 18:1-15. I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, and my fortress, and my Savior. My God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. The ropes of death encompassed me, and the torrents of destruction terrified me. The ropes of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress I called upon the Lord, and cried to my God for help. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry for help before him came into his ears. Then the earth shook and quaked, and the foundations of the mountains were trembling and were shaken because he was angry. Smoke went up out of his nostrils, and fire from his mouth was devouring. Coals burned from it. He also bowed the heavens down low and came down, with thick darkness under his feet. He rode on a cherub and flew, and he sped on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his hiding place, his canopy around him, darkness of waters, thick clouds. From the brightness before him passed his thick clouds, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. He sent out his arrows, and scattered them, and lightning flashes in abundance, and routed them. Then the channels of water appeared, and the foundations of the world were exposed. By your rebuke, Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils.